There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, video viewers and audio listeners. This is part two of a Swapcast crossover between Zdenek's English Podcast, Rock and Roll English, and Luke's English Podcast. And we are talking again about football, more specifically the Euro 2020 Championship, which is now at its very final stage. The two semi-finals have been played. And this coming Sunday, the 11th of July, it's the final between Italy and England. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. And also in this episode, we're going to reveal the winners of our giveaway competition, which you probably heard about if you watched part one of this. So we will be revealing we're going to discover the winners. We're going to do a special sort of random number generator in order to discover the winners of the competitions and stuff like that. So do we need to mention the prizes again, just to raise the excitement even further? At this stage, I'm going to do it. So there are three lucky people stands to win free access to Zdenek's English through Role Plays English course, right? Free access to the Rock and Roll English family for 1 month. And that doesn't mean that you will have actual access to Martin's actual family. But the Rock and Roll English family is like his special learning English community, which normally, you know, is a paid service. But three people can gain access to it
exactly. Free
for a month. Exactly, says Martin, who is actually there. Hello, Martin. Yeah, good. You have agreed to give people access to your family.
I have, yeah.
Okay, good. those three lucky people will receive one lovely Luke's English Podcast mug signed by yours truly. That means me. So three people are going to receive one of these special mugs, limited edition as well. Okay, all right. So it's very exciting stuff. So with me again, we have Zdenek Lucas and Martin Johnston. We'll start with Zdenek. Hello, Zdenek. My question for you is, how are you at this moment? How do you feel at this moment and why?
Okay, hello. It's good to be back. Do you mean football-wise or Euro-wise or in general?
just generally, really. But I mean, I suppose that since you are a football fan, your mood is probably very much affected by the football. So let's
every
go with the football.
Day.
How do you feel football-wise at this
football-wise,
moment? Football-wise,
well, I've been enjoying this tournament. So on one hand, there have been plenty of great matches, and obviously I watched the England match yesterday. On the other hand, there's a bit of disappointment as well, because my team are already out of the tournament, so it's a mixture of emotions. A little bit jealous of you two as well, because you made it to the final, so it's coming home now, isn't it, finally?
I'm not going to sing the song. Because what about you, Martin? Maybe we'll talk about this in a bit, but have you been singing It's Coming Home?
Well, I mean, I've had that and World in Motion basically playing nonstop. In fact, my wife now, I think, knows the words to the John Barnes rap in World in Motion, because I've listened to that so many times. But no, I don't want to get too, I don't want to get too carried away and thinking like it's already won, because there's still a very big test to go. But I mean, even getting to the final for us English people, I mean, you've got to be older than 55 to have ever seen to have ever seen England in a final, and then to remember it. So my dad, for example, I think he's like 63. He can't remember when England were in the final. So it's like a new thing for a huge, huge percentage of the population. So yeah, it's a strange feeling at the moment.
Things though, we, you know, England, we're all obsessed with this and we feel like, you know, we've been waiting so long and this must be our turn. But I mean, you know, for the Czech Republic, I mean, have you, I don't think the Czech Republic has ever won an international competition. Am I right in thinking that?
You would be completely wrong, Luke.
Because
Didn't they win one on penalties?
Unlike you guys, we've actually won it. And Denmark have won it too.
Yeah. The Euros.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so, when did the Czech Republic win? Sorry.
76 was
it? Is that the one where the guy did the Panenka penalty? Is that?
Yeah, okay. His name was Panenka actually.
Okay,
and
sorry.
Panenka penalty kick was named after him.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Hopefully I'm saying it right. 1976. Okay, if it's wrong then.
I think that might be right.
Wait, what's the significance of the Panenka penalty?
You know, when they do the one where it kind of like kick down the middle with like a little lob.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. We've got to check. We've got to look. We've got to see this. I don't think I'm going to get a copyright strike for this. Panenka penalty 1976. Let's have a little look at the Panenka penalty.
So he's giving it away.
All right. I can edit. Czechoslovakia. That's not the Czech Republic. You've never won an international competition.
Okay. But at least we got to the final then. In 1996, we got to the final as the Czech Republic. All right, then.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just messing around, of course. Now, let's get to the penalty. And it's a clever little penalty, is it?
It's just like...
It's the Panenka penalty.
Here we go.
You need to see it.
Cheeky monkey. Sandmeier dives. Panenka. So basically, he kind of lobbed it. Antonin Panenka. Hey. What did he do? For the audio listeners, the people who can't actually see the video, who can actually describe the Panenka penalty?
Kind of like a chip down the middle. Yeah. So the keeper normally dives left or right. And if you just chip it, like in the direct center of the goal, the idea is the keeper dives left or right and doesn't save it. The problem is when you do that and the keeper doesn't move and just catches it, you look like an absolute idiot.
And we have seen it many times.
Exactly.
Premier League players have done it and they looked like complete idiots. But when it works out, I think Totti did it once. Francesco Totti did it.
Yep, he did it. And Gary Lineker famously did it and he had the chance to equal the goal scoring record for England and he tried that and it didn't work and he didn't score and he didn't equal the goal scoring record. So, yeah.
Mm. It's a risky one, but if it works out, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Okay, but let's say at least the Czech part of Czechoslovakia have won an international competition in 1976. Yes, Slovakia weren't involved. I don't know what the O.
No,
wait.
Hang on. Czechoslovakia used to be one country, so it was Czech.
I know.
Slovakia, yeah. And we split up. We split in, when was it? 1990. Oh my God, 1993 or 1991. One of those two. Oh God, I need to find this.
Why did I do this? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to drag us into the political ins and outs of the partition of Czechoslovakia.
There was no war or anything. This was quite.
Oh, thank God for that. Let's hope we don't start one with this conversation.
Yeah, we. 1993, yeah.
Okay.
And ever since then, we had two different countries and two different international teams. And yeah, so our second greatest success came after that. So it was in 1996 when we got to the final. It was actually in Wembley because England hosted the tournament and we lost to Germany again before we won. We lost to Germany. In the final.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, at least you've experienced your team getting to a final though, because that's literally never happened in my whole life.
I was actually alive. I actually saw that match.
Yeah, I remember Euro 96 very well. So I can imagine you remember it. But yeah, so this has never happened. So this for me is a crazy, crazy period. I just can't believe it.
Uncharted territory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, when I spoke to one of my friends yesterday, I described it how when we were 19, we went to Thailand together and we stepped off the plane And it was kind of like, whoa, what's going on? Like everything was just so different because we'd basically never been out of our hometown before. It's kind of like the same. I've just like, feel like I'm 19 again. I've just stepped off the plane in Thailand. Like, what is going on?
It's an exciting feeling. I don't know if I'm really happy or if I'm scared. Like sometimes I think I'm terrified. I'm terrified of this. I want to go home, but then but then at other times, like, this is exhilarating. This is amazing. I've never felt more alive in my whole life. And then other times I'm like, yeah, it's only a game of football. So, you know, it's like a mixed emotions, basically.
Same. And especially for me, because I obviously, as I think you know, I live in Italy. Yeah. And so now it's England against Italy in the final, which in some ways it's good because, you know, lots of people have been sending me messages saying, oh, like, let's watch the game together and stuff. But on the flip side, like, I can't go out to watch it because I run the risk of getting murdered, like if England win. And even worse, if England lose, you can't sleep anyway because people just drive up and down on their cut with their cars just going for the next 2 hours, yeah. Which happened when they won the semi-final. So if there's one thing I think would be like that you don't want after losing the final is having people rubbing your face in it, hitting their horns whilst you're trying to sleep. So it's going to be a difficult situation.
It's going to be hard for you to watch the game, though, isn't it? Surely that you're going to be surrounded by Italian people.
Exactly.
If England score, you'll be like, yeah.
Well, his wife is Italian in the first place, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. And she said to me, oh, like, because you can't go out. So she said, maybe we should invite lots of people around. And she said, like, we could invite like so-and-so and so-and-so. Like, they're all Italians. I don't want to be like watching it with like 50 Italians and just me. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay, so it's now time to reveal the winners of the magnificent competition giveaway that we announced in the first part of this this Euro 2020 double swapcast, triple swapcast in two parts. That five episodes? I don't know. Anyway, it's time to announce the competition winners. In fact, we haven't picked them yet. So the way this worked is that we asked people to give their name and email address using our Google form. I'm afraid if you've just found out about this now, sorry, too late. But we had, I think it was 345 entries. Is that right? I think it is.
Well, we had more, but
we had some people who cheated, and you know, people who were just like writing their email address in again and again and again. It's like, you know, sorry guys, that did not work. Okay, like,
we're
not.
I saw those cheaters. Equivalent,
yeah. Yeah, it's like the equivalent of Sterling jumping on the floor, yeah. Kind of. Think,
there
yeah.
was a yeah people trying to bend the rules, of course. Yeah. People entering
the
their email address again and again. We noticed, all right, so those duplicate emails have been removed. So anyway, end of the day, it's 345 entries. We need to pick three people randomly. Those three people will be the prize winners. So what you can see here is this is maybe a bit confusing. If I put zero on that, let's see, if I put 10 on that, that would be 10 people. Okay, and we've got a spinning wheel with 10 numbers on it. We don't have 10 though. We've got 345, which looks like that. Okay, so that is 345 numbers on a wheel. Each one represents someone who entered the competition. And what we're going to do is spin that wheel, and the number that's revealed will be select, that'll be one of the winners. Okay, let's go. Are you ready? Here comes number one. Okay, spin the wheel. As the wheel spins, who's it going to be? That is number 200. Can I count? I think I can. That's number 225. So now we need to go here. to the... That's not one of the winners. That's just a person's name. Okay, this is the person. This is number 225. It's Fala from Indonesia. Congratulations to Fala from Indonesia. We've got your email address. It's down here, but I'm not going to reveal it to the world. But Fala from Indonesia, you're going to receive emails from me, from Zdenek, and from Martin. Congratulations. Amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, let's pick the second person. Are we going to remember this? Yes, because it's being recorded on video, so we'll be able to remember. Next person. I'm removing that. I'm removing Fala, so he or she doesn't win it again. I don't know if Fala is a boy or a girl, but anyway, let's carry on. Here comes number two. Spin the wheel. Who's it going to be?
Very annoying, annoying sound of a wheel, I think.
It's number 202. Who is this going to be? Who is number 202? As we find out, it's Mana from Japan. Oh, omedetou gozaimasu. Congratulations to Mana from Japan. Yes, you will be receiving emails from the three of us. Well done to you. I expect you'll be celebrating with your friends, regardless of what happens in the Euro 2020 Championships, because that coming from Japan, you don't care. Let's move on to the next person. Spin the wheel. Very annoying noise. The winner is number 78. Who's that going to be? Let's find out. Number 78 is Ying from China. Congratulations to Ying. Wow. There we go. So Ying and Mana and who was the other person? I don't remember the name.
Fala.
That's right, Fala. And Mana and Ying, congratulations. You are our winners. All three of them, not from the continent of Europe. But apparently you're still interested in the European Championships, which is obviously great. I did actually receive some comments from people saying, I'm not from Europe. But I'm really interested in, I love European football. So nice one. Great. But of course, we know that the real winners will be the players and supporters of the team that will triumph ultimately on Sunday, the 11th of July, when the European Championships will be decided. And then, you know, football will continue. It's not just the end of football. They don't just win football. Football then continues and there'll be another game. After a few months, another important game. That's the beauty and joy of football. But anyway, there we go. Congratulations to the three winners. Right, should we all just say congratulations?
Congratulations.
Together? Congratulations.
Three winners.
Well done. Well done, everyone. Okay, back to the conversation. How should we approach this? Should we talk about England versus Denmark at this point? Let's do that. So it was England versus Denmark last night. Obviously, there are so many other games that we could talk about. But, you know, we are going to end up focusing on England just because Martin and I are both English and there's more of us than there is of Zdenek. So if he tries to...
And this is a Learning English podcast.
Only
well,
just by one.
Yeah, that's right. It is it's a Learning English podcast, although, I mean, yeah. Okay, fair enough. English is in there. So I suppose that's something.
Yeah.
That's the justification. Connection. Well, anyway, let's start with England versus Denmark. So I'll ask you, we were talking about where to watch games and stuff. Where did you watch that game, Zdenek? Where did you, I'm assuming you watched it and you weren't just like, still upset about, the previous match, but,
You would be surprised. There was a bit of bitterness in that as well, because obviously we got knocked out. The Czech Republic got knocked out by Denmark, in the quarterfinal, which was the round before this one. This was the semi-final. So there was still a bit of like, oh, I wish it had been us there, you know, but it was what it was. And I was trying to just enjoy a game of football as a neutral. Obviously Denmark, it's an amazing story, right? What they have been through with the Ericsson collapse. And like, if you look at the map of the world, I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen a meme where who actually supported England were only people from England, and everyone else were supporting. Everyone else was supporting Denmark. You could see the flags everywhere, literally everywhere, in Wales, in Scotland, in Ireland, every single European country supported Denmark because of the story, because they were the underdogs. Yeah, so I was a bit torn myself, yeah, because obviously I love the language, you know, I have a lot of English mates, and but that goes both ways, right? So when they win, or if they won, which you did, if they had won, which you did, that means you would go to the final and you would be throwing it into my face. I would have to see all those statuses. There's a bit of jealousy in there, right? But at the same time, I'm happy for you too, because you haven't really won a major tournament for a long time, and there has been some injustice that was done to you, like the Maradona handball, the goal scored again, the goal that didn't happen, the Lampard goal against Germany. So I was like, okay, well, fair enough, and you deserved you won the game. Obviously, against Denmark, you won 2-1. Mm-hmm. You had to turn it round because the Danish scored the first goal. It was a fantastic free kick.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, and then you were, let's be honest, you were the better team. It went into the extra time where you pretty much dominated. But there is a but.
It was a very soft penalty, I must admit. If that had been the other way round, And now, so let's say I woke up today, England are out of the tournament because a penalty like that, I would be fuming. But the only way I kind of justify this to myself is because, like you mentioned, that has happened to me before, waking up with that feeling of injustice. So I kind of think it's our turn to have what we say in English, the rub of the green, like just like a bit of luck, basically.
Going back to that thing about everyone supporting Denmark, it was quite interesting because you got the sense that, yeah, they not just that they were the underdogs, but the fact that one of their players nearly died for some reason was like the most motivating force. And before the game, people were sort of saying, oh, yeah, Denmark, it's a fairy tale, right? It's a fairy tale that they... why is it that when one player doesn't die... this suddenly gives the team this massive push. Like, one of our guys survived. He's in hospital. He's fine. But this is the force that we need. I don't know why that became a fairy tale.
I think it was because he came close to death as well. Didn't just like survive. Like he finished the match and he was still alive. Like,
it's like, interesting. Yeah, like a brush with death and is the X factor in football.
Yeah,
that you need. I don't know. It's just a bizarre.
I'm not really surprised, to be honest, because you realize that at that point, I saw that match. I was watching that match when it happened, and it was shocking. It was horrifying. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. And then, like, what happened after that? Like, how the whole team stuck together, like, how they managed to get out of the group stage in the second place with just 3 points.
And yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I feel now like a deeply insensitive scumbag now because I've essentially making fun of what could have been a terrible tragedy. And I did see the footage as well, and it was horrible. Well, you know, all the players crowding round, and there were tears, people were crying. It was really a very emotional moment. And then there's me making fun of it, but I suppose, I mean, the in football, in international competitions like this, it's not just about the quality of the players you've got on the pitch, but there is some other factor, some magical factor, which gives players motivation and drive and the desire to win, and something like that kind of emotional thing, bringing all the players together, was a huge thing. I thought it was going to make the difference. I just felt like maybe this would have meant Denmark would have been more motivated. But I have to say, I think England played pretty well and we controlled things. And yeah, but the penalty.
That was kind of like, I just kind of felt bad a bit there because I thought that, because although, like you said, we dominated the match and everything, I kind of think that was the Denmark game plan. They kind of knew that, but we weren't really creating a lot of chances. So I think they were happy with that. I didn't think that was like, yeah, well, okay, dominating the match, like, and the ball, but not really getting that many chances. So, and I kind of thought that was probably their game plan. And then to score a goal like they did with a free kick, a corner, something like that. That, I think, was their game plan. So but to them be honest, to lose in that way was tough.
To be honest, they did look very tired, the Denmark team. Mm. You had way more energy. I think the match against the Czech Republic, it was also tough for them, you know, because they were defending the lead. It wasn't an easy match for them. It wasn't like they beat us and dominated the whole match. You know, it was an even game. They just scored an early goal. And so I think they have really sort of surpassed themselves. Is that an expression? They have.
I think so.
They surpassed themselves.
It is now.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it is. And the first goal in that game shouldn't have been a goal, should it? Because that came from a corner that wasn't a corner.
Wait, sorry, hold on a minute. The first goal in which game should have been a goal?
We're talking about the Czech Republic game now.
Yeah.
The Czech Republic game against Denmark. Yes.
You say that. That's what everybody thought at that moment. It happened, I think, in the fifth minute. But then later that evening, there was a footage which kept coming from BBC showing that it was actually a corner.
Okay.
It looks like it was a corner in the end.
Mm. Yeah. I thought, though, that let's just go in my head that it still wasn't a corner. That was another argument for my non-VAR thing, because at what point does VAR stop? Like, because then if, you know, a goal scored from a corner, do you then take it back and say it wasn't a corner? And even last night, I thought last night was a perfect example. When the penalty happened and the referee, and when I first saw that, I saw Sterling jump to the floor. I actually said, oh, like, get up, like, you're embarrassing. And then the referee, I could see, pointed to the spot to give a penalty. And I was like,
you hesitated. Then,
yeah. When I saw it, I said, well, that's definitely going to be like ruled out now, because VAR's going to look at that. There's no one can tell me that's a penalty. And so that's just kind of what I think. Anyway, it's still a matter of opinion. So there will still always be controversy and everything anyway. So if it's going to be there anyway, it slows down the game. So just get rid of it.
Do you know what I think? I think if the referee hadn't blown the whistle, VAR wouldn't have overturned.
No, of course not. Because
I think they're there just to sort of see if the referee made a clear and obvious error.
Mm.
And apparently he didn't in this case, which surprised me a lot. But I guess there was a bit of contact there.
There was another incident in the Italy-Belgium game where he gave Belgium a penalty. And again, that was never a penalty. And even in that situation, I said, well, VAR's here. Like, so now that's not going to be given. And it was. And you just think, well, what's the point anyway of this thing?
I think the point is that let's say the Sterling one, England-Denmark, and we all agree, I think, that in our opinions, that's not a penalty. But then there is some grey area in how you decide when there is a foul and when there isn't a foul. And, you know, at the heart of it, a foul is when the defender plays the player before they play the ball, or they make contact with the player without making contact with the ball. And so with the Sterling one, I mean, Sterling did a dive, right? I think. I mean, he made the most of it, right? Yeah. So I think there was contact, but he did, you know, do that thing where both his legs suddenly came from underneath him,
yeah,
which is just totally ridiculous. Like, that's not how it works. It was obviously a dive.
Yeah.
But I think there was some contact.
I think it also depends on the intensity.
It's not a contact sport, is it? It's not boxing.
It's not a contact sport. If you touch someone, it's a free kick. Like, sure. If I feel it and I touch you, and then it's like, oh, well, that's a free kick now. Like, okay. Touching, not sexual, does happen.
And sexual sometimes. And you sexual. See the Germany-France game? Biting and stroking involved.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay, well.
But yeah, touching does happen.
I think it depends on the intensity and also which
intensity
part of
the touching is still sexual. Sorry, go on.
And which part of the body also you Ooh. Make the contact yeah. with? Because if it, you can like, you can be kind of rougher with your shoulder, for example. Yeah. Okay, this, it's not nothing sexual again.
This is X-rated, this podcast.
I don't know. I mean, we could debate it all day and all night, but the fact is that, we think that he dived and it probably wasn't a penalty, but it's very hard to make that decision, even when you got VAR backing you up or not. I think that even with VAR, you could still argue about that decision. He dived, but there may have been contact anyway. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, there's nothing that can be done about it.
Exactly.
Now. The fact is that it was a penalty. Peter Schmeichel was a mate, not Peter Schmeichel. Peter Schmeichel was amazing in having this boy who became a great goalkeeper called Kasper Schmeichel. Yeah. Kasper Schmeichel was absolutely fantastic.
He was.
And he saved the penalty, but then, you know, he couldn't stop it.
Yeah. Look, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's another piece of controversy, actually.
Yes.
And I don't know. Yeah.
The laser.
Martin knows. Yeah. The laser. Somebody was pointing a laser at him. And there are images of that in the media. Mm.
And there's also some more controversy that I didn't see when apparently just before the incident for the penalty, there were two balls on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Which I didn't know. I only saw that today
on the Czech TV, and the commentators. That was the first thing they said. They thought,
really, I didn't notice.
Wait, where were the two balls? Obviously, one was on the penalty spot. Where was the other ball?
No. Before
when Sterling was running with the ball to get the penalty.
On the right hand side, there was a ball, and he went past it like it was like literally like 1 meter away from the other ball.
And so when
there are two balls on the pitch, under normal circumstances, the referee blows the whistle because it's confusing for everyone, right? So the referee blows the whistle, but he didn't, and let the play continue. And then there was
I must admit that, like, so I didn't notice that, and I didn't see any of the players actually complaining about. So I don't think that put anyone off. Like, I don't think anyone was confused of like, what ball am I supposed to be going after here? So yeah, the game should have been stopped, but I don't think that the penalty was more of an injustice to me because that wasn't a penalty. Like the ball, I don't think anyone saw that, and the laser as well. Again, though, I don't think we can say it put Schmeichel off because he actually saved the penalty.
Yeah. It may have helped him somehow. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe he was just like jumping out the way of the laser of like and then ended up saving the penalty. I'm not sure, but. I mean, he did
actually Danish fans did that then.
I don't know.
But yeah, so I think, again, of all of these, the three things, the laser, the two balls, and the actual decision. But for me, the worst was the actual decision and the idiot that was like putting this laser in his face, obviously.
For me, it was the balls as well. Because the thing is, Martin, when you see two balls, you expect the referee to blow the whistle
I agree, but
it wasn't somewhere on the line.
I agree, but what I'm saying is I didn't even notice the two balls. I didn't notice anything about it until today, so the next day, and I was watching it on Italian TV. No one mentioned that, and the players didn't seem to stop, so I don't think that caused the problem. I don't think anyone was confused with the two balls.
Well, in any case, what happened happened, and we're now looking back with hindsight, but, you know, England are through. Commiserations to Denmark, their fairy tale has come to an end. But here we are. Where did you watch the game, though? For some reason, I'm slightly fixated on this location of viewing question. Martin, where did you actually watch this game?
So I had a lot of difficulty deciding about this. I was tempted to go out and have a few beers, but I mean, I was still recovering from Saturday. And the other thing stopping me watching at home was during the Germany match, which I watched at home. I was jumping and shouting a lot. And my small daughter, who is like not even 5 months old, was crying a lot at me shouting. And I think she thought I'd like lost the plot and was going to smash the house up. So that kind of put me off. But in the end, I decided to go with home to watch it at home just so I could be with my family to live the moment as well. I watched it at home.
With the rock and roll English.
Well, I just wanted to say.
okay, Stenek, what about your choice this time?
Yeah, obviously, for me, it was not so difficult to decide, like for Martin, because this game didn't bear as much significance for me. I watched it at home on my laptop. And I was cooking myself a dinner as well while doing so, a late dinner.
Okay.
It was cool.
I watched it in a local English pub, which had a combination of some English fans who were singing and cheering in the way that you would expect or hope, and some people who were wearing England shirts, but under further investigation, it turned out that they had almost no allegiance to England at all. And they were only there because someone else had asked them to come, and so on. So it was a bit of a weird one, but it's, so the question I wanted to, we were talking before about the best place to watch a game. And I think I've worked it out. I think basically, here it is for me. I like the atmosphere of being in a pub and the moments when people celebrate and just the general atmosphere of it. But the thing about being in a pub is, A, you drink too much and you get all hungover the next day, which I am suffering from today, I have to say, a bit, especially since we had to get the table really early. And of course, if you get there early, then you just drink even more. You could just not drink, but I mean, for some reason, this is impossible. So there's the atmosphere, but also you can't really enjoy watching the game that much. There's a lot of, great, like, the other people around all talking about other things, and it's just like, really, I just sort of at one point wanted to stand up and say to everyone, can everyone just shut up and just talk about the game only? I only want commentary, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Whereas when you're at home, you get to enjoy the commentary on the TV, and you know, you can actually focus on genuinely what's happening. Plus, in the pub, you can never see, you're always kind of like straining your neck, there's someone elbowing you in the ribs.
Yeah, you need to sort of do, I always think, some research before about like the setup. Like, is there a like big screen? Like, where are you going to be sitting? Decent sound, because there's nothing worse than like when you can't hear the commentary or the, even just like the crowd, like you can't hear it at all. I've actually been in pubs before where like there is no sound and you're watching it in silence, and it's just not right. You just don't feel like you're a part of it. Always do research about the setup.
It's like an operation. It's got to be planned very carefully. You've got to, like,
absolutely,
you know, work out how you get in and your whole extraction, system of like how you're going to get in, get out. You know, you need a SWAT team in order to watch a football game in a pub properly. You know, you need to be in the SAS or something to actually do it properly. But I wanted to ask you, Martin, that you actually watched the England Czech Republic game. Was it England Czech Republic? Or Germany?
Ukraine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last 16 match.
Yeah.
Quarterfinal. You saw the quarterfinal against Ukraine in Rome.
Unbelievable.
You went on a road trip to Rome. You did an episode of your podcast about it.
Yeah.
But can you give us the sort of like the reduced quick version? Okay. What was that like to be there in the stadium?
Unreal. Unreal. Like a dream come true, I described it, is how I described it on a podcast, which it was. I've never seen England play in a major tournament. So to be there, because I had no idea. So I watched the England-Germany game, and then I thought England were playing all of their games at Wembley. And then one of my friends said, oh, they're playing in Rome next. And I suddenly thought, oh, hang on. Because England fans couldn't come out. And then there was something about tickets were only available for British citizens living in Italy. And I finally thought an advantage of being a British citizen living in Italy. I actually called the British embassy and was quickly told that I was talking to the wrong people about getting tickets for a football match. And then I met up with a few friends in Rome, and just the atmosphere as well. I mean, probably on TV, probably didn't, I don't know, you can tell me, probably didn't look like there was a great atmosphere because there wasn't so full, but where I was, there were loads of England fans. And then England dominated the match as well, which was, it was strange, like seeing, but not being nervous. I was waiting for like them to score a last minute goal or penalties or something like this. And then again, even after the match, because everyone was just like on cloud nine, the song, which I think we were probably singing this for about an hour after the game, which was that "Don't Take Me Home, Please Don't Take Me Home," which I think I mentioned on the podcast. When I sang that to my wife, she said, "Oh, I'm happy to see how English hooligan football fans still put the word please in their songs of like, they're just polite hooligans. So yeah, please, I want to stay here, drink all your beer, please don't take me home." And I mean, at that point as well, I was thinking, I want to stay here and drink all the beer forever. Like, I don't know if I do want to go home. This is so good. And then next day woke up without a voice. And it wasn't actually a road trip, by the way. I actually took a plane because Sicily to Rome.
It's an island, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, you could drive. It would take just a long time. Or you have the choice of paying, like, I think I paid 20 euros there and like 15 euros back Ryanair to get to Rome. So that was a better option. So, yes, it was unbelievable. But I wish I could actually put it into words of how good it actually was, but unfortunately,
Martin, do you think the experience would have been different had you lost?
Of course, it would have been totally different. There would have been no one would have been on such a high after. I mean, I've been to other football matches, and after a win and after a loss, it's a completely different story. So. And the way we won as well, like in style kind of thing. So then everyone was like, it was kind of like a party atmosphere. There was one point when everyone was singing like to the England manager, "Southgate, give us a wave. Southgate, give us a wave." We did that for about 20 minutes. And then all he did was this after about 20 minutes. And then the place erupted.
A little wave. A small wave, kind of like the Queen.
And then I just kind of thought it's a bit crazy how just a man just doing that can make a crowd erupt. But it was just an absolutely brilliant experience.
I can imagine, because I've been myself to a game, a major tournament game. My team, Czech Republic, it was back in 2006, Czech Republic against Ghana in the World Cup in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was in Köln.
And what was the score? Did you win?
We lost 2-0. At that point, we had that brilliant team that did so well in Euro 2004 with Milan Baroš and Tomáš Rosický and Pavel Nedvěd and all these brilliant players. So, but I have to say, despite losing that game, like it's a memory that will stay with me forever.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. Yeah, so I can relate to Martin's experience.
And some of my close friends have got tickets for the final, and they bought the tickets before last night's match, and the tickets cost like more or less £1,000. And when they told me that they'd got tickets, I said, well, the only good thing is if England lose tonight, I will actually it will make defeat more bearable, because I'll be laughing at you that you've spent £1,000 to watch Italy versus Denmark.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, what's going to happen then? What do you think? Any predictions for this final? I mean, Italy.
They've been the strongest team without a shadow of a doubt, I think, in the whole tournament. The defense. Yeah, they started well. I mean, I think the first game was it. I think Switzerland was it. They beat Switzerland.
Turkey.
I think. Turkey. Yeah. But didn't they also? They beat Switzerland 3-0, didn't they? And then Switzerland actually turned out to be a quite good team, who then beat France and nearly beat Spain. They lost on penalties, and like Italy tore them apart. Like they started really well, they beat Austria in the last 16, which they didn't play so well in that game. Belgium, everyone was talking about Belgium. I thought 2-1 was actually like flattered Belgium.
Comfortable win, yeah.
Yeah, and because that was never a penalty, it should have been 2-0. No.
I have to say, the Czech team, we played Italy in the pre-tournament friendlies, in one of the friendlies, and we lost 4-0 or 3-0 or something like that, and they were all over the place. We stood no chance whatsoever. And now watching all these Italy matches, I have to agree with Martin. They look like the team that could win this tournament.
Yeah.
I think you do have a chance, but I would say they are the favorites, not you.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think though, so we've obviously got home advantage, which is one thing.
It's massive for that too.
Yeah. And I also think that we will play kind of like the Germany game England played, like a bit more defensive, but we've still got good attacking players. So when that ball goes in that area of the pitch, we can still do something. So I think we'll change the way we play, I think.
Italy, you know, classically, they've always been a great defensive team. Mm. Like very hard to score against Italy.
They say catanaccio, which is like a lockdown kind of thing.
Exactly. And, you know, England, Scotland, they kind of did a bit of lockdown then, didn't they? The Scottish. Mm. Could you say that they parked the bus? Mm-hmm. Did they do that? That's an expression, listeners, viewers. To park the bus means, imagine parking a bus in front of the goal. Mm. So it's completely blocked in a way that the team parks the bus, in the sense that there are just lots of players defending the goal, and it makes it very difficult to score. But Scotland sort of they were very, very defensive. And England just couldn't really get through, couldn't really penetrate the box. Mm. We haven't shown great ability to penetrate this so far. I think a little bit, you know, obviously Ukraine, we scored 4 goals, but I'm not completely convinced. It's going to be very hard for England to, you know, get the ball in the goal.
The thing is, you say this, but I think this Italian team, it's not just that. Like, there is a bit of that, as you said, very well organized defense. Every player knows what they're doing, but they're a real team. Like,
I agree.
If you compare them, for example, with France, where it was just a team full of individuals and players
totally
with
agree.
Big ego, and that's why they went out deservedly beaten by Switzerland, in my opinion, the best match of the tournament.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah.
Because I live in France, that was a big thing, and I was out watching that. And France got 3 goals. It was 3-1 to France. Mm. And
I almost switched off at that point. I thought this is it. Yeah.
The players switched off a bit too. Yeah. And Switzerland were really hungry. They really wanted it. And they got the impression that the French players kind of like switched off a bit. And Switzerland came back
But I don't get this feeling with the Italian team, because I don't know whether you knew these players, some of these players like Immobile. I didn't know them very well actually. And I think that's it, because they are a real team and they work like a well-oiled machine, and they just know what they're doing, and they are better than Spain for me as well, because Spain, they are just passing the ball around, and the Italian players, they have real incision, and they are ruthless in the attacking zone. And
I totally agree, because if I think of years ago, the Italian team with like Totti, Del Piero, like Cannavaro, Nesta, I knew all of the players, but like you said, I know a few more because obviously I live in Italy, but there are still not quite a few players that I don't know. And they haven't got like that star. So France have got like Mbappe and like the like stars. And I think this is exactly similar to England. For example, years ago where we had like Gerrard, Lampard, Beckham, Terry, Ferdinand, like Rooney, all of these huge stars. Whilst now, Harry Kane, but I mean, still, I mean, sort of only plays for Tottenham kind of thing. Yeah. I don't think the same as England now. I think we play much more as a team. I've read things as well about in the past in England team, there was like the Manchester United table, the Liverpool table, the Chelsea table. Whilst now you can see they're more of a group, and like no one cares about who you play for. It's like, exactly, we're a team.
I can see that. Yeah. As well. I can see that there's a lot of togetherness.
And yeah.
Players like sticking for each other. And I could see in that match when you were 1-0 down, how, for example, Harry Kane was a real leader and was trying to calm everyone down, and you could see like a lot of mental strength. One thing I would say is that in this Euro, it turns out that the teams win, not individuals. That is the teams. Look at Denmark, how far they got. Look at Italy, And England, I think England belongs to that category too.
It's like what I said before about Denmark, that they were united by, I mean, they're obviously probably a strong team already in the sense that they work together. But the what happened, I think, really did bring them all much closer together. Mm. And, you know, teamwork is what makes the dream work, isn't it?
even our team, even the Czech Republic team, nobody would expect us to even get out of that group. Everybody thought it would be Scotland at our expense. Mm. And we made it. And we even beat the Netherlands in the last 16.
So yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I was disappointed after getting knocked out by Denmark. But overall, I have to say it was a good tournament for us. You know. Yeah. So, and again, we didn't have any stars whatsoever. No stars, just a team. Just, you know, everybody sort of working. Yeah.
This is the thing, you know, football is a team. It's a game of two halves. But it's a team sport, isn't it? And ultimately, the ones that do the best are the ones that work together as a unit, regardless of the individual stars in the team. It's the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, you know. And so when you've got like Mbappe and Griezmann and, you know, all these other stars, Pogba and stuff like that, who individually have, you know, great rankings. But if you don't get them to work together, then it doesn't matter because it's about working as a unit.
Absolutely. And yeah, again, in the past with the England team, I always thought it wasn't a case of like, what's the best formation to win this game or the best tactics? It was, let's try and get all of the big stars in and then we'll just try and like put them. For example, Paul Scholes, one of our greatest players, was played on the left of midfield, whilst now I think Southgate makes some big, bold decisions. For example, last night, Grealish came on and he took him off,
amazing.
Which is a big thing. But he's just like, look, I don't care. Like, we're here to win this game. I'm not here to like be nice to you or anything like that. We're here to win this because we want to go to the final and we want to win, which I love that.
I love that myself.
Yeah. Because when Grealish is like, first of all, substitute, he's the super sub. Which is like meaning the substitute that you bring on who is going to bring something special and great, almost like a little secret weapon or something. And Grealish is also the fans' favourite at the moment. Mm. Everyone's calling for Grealish all the time because he is exciting, he's unpredictable, and he wears his socks a little bit shorter than everyone else, and he's got a funny haircut. So, everyone loves Grealish.
But I would say actually, like, he's an amazing player. He's great in Aston Villa, but the way he plays, he is one of those players that I feel like has a big ego. I hope I don't dig myself into a hole or something. Mm. But the way he plays, it's just all about him, and that's how it's in Aston Villa. From what I've seen, he's great. He's amazing. Yeah, he deserves to be in the squad. He deserves to play. But I'm quite happy. Well, I say it as if I were an English fan, but I think I think what Martin is saying, it was the right decision.
What I was saying is just to kind of explain that, just in case there are people who aren't, you know, fully familiar with him and his role in the team, that he's the substitute. The idea for a football manager to bring on a substitute and then bring that substitute off and substitute him for someone else is kind of a confident move to make. And a lot of people would kind of say, oh, that's ridiculous. You can't substitute a substitute. This is a terrible decision. And also all the people in the crowd calling for Grealish, wanting that kind of excitement on the pitch. But Southgate made the wise decision to remove Grealish for strategic purposes because we didn't need him on that. In the team at that moment, we needed a more defensive team to hold on to our.
Although I must admit as well, the game did go into extra time, so he got brought on in normal time. So, and I actually read that he played more than like most of the other subs because he was the first sub to come on, and I think he still played longer than the other one. So if we're talking minutes, but it is still always an embarrassment, and there's always like this rule in football: if you sub someone on, you can't sub them off. Because it's like too embarrassing, so you just basically leave them on and hope for the best. While Southgate,
and it's embarrassing for the individual. It's embarrassing for the player. You mean?
Yeah, definitely.
But the truth is, it had Denmark scored a goal and equalized, I think you would be looking at it differently now. As well.
Of course, that's how football works, though, isn't it? Yeah. Then maybe if he had left Grealish on, and Denmark had scored, then people maybe would have said that he should have taken Grealish off. That's the only way that you can make the right decision is if you win the match, and that's what happened. So have you heard the remake of the classic Atomic Kitten song for Southgate? I've been singing that a lot. I was singing that a lot in Rome. That looking back at when we first met, I cannot escape and I cannot forget. Southgate, you're the one. You still turn me on. Football's coming home again. amazing. Atomic Kitten have actually sung that now. They actually sang that recently. I was watching it. It was brilliant.
They should re-release it. It would go to number one.
It would. I think they actually will.
So, okay. We can't talk about this all forever. We've got to kind of, there's loads of other things we could talk about, and I would love to talk about them more. I would love, for example, to discuss whether It's Coming Home is actually a terrible song or not. I'd love to discuss whether it like English fans singing it is somehow arrogant. The idea that football coming home is an arrogant thing, which, you know, people have said. I'd love to discuss all the ins and outs of that. I'd love to talk more about diving and the behavior of players on the pitch and all the other things, all the other games and teams and stuff like that. But we can't keep doing this forever. We'll just have to stop now. Yes. But it's been good fun, guys, talking to you about this. It's been a good excuse to just talk about football for a while. And I hope that our viewers and listeners have also enjoyed this. Do you have any sort of like final words or anything? What do you reckon?
You put me on the spot there.
I've put you on the spot completely. I'm putting you on the spot again.
But I have to say, it's been a fantastic tournament, and there are some cons. Like, I don't think it should happen like this in a lot of different places. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
Some teams have to travel more than the others. It's just not fair and all that. Mm. But despite that, there are a lot of positives. And my final words would be, after the lockdown and the coronavirus madness, this is something that actually lifted a lot of people's spirit. You know, personally, I forgot about all the bad stuff that has been happening for a month, okay? When we got knocked out, right? It's back, but I have been enjoying myself a lot, and you know, it's what football does. It's why we all love it.
Yeah,
I
it's coming home. It's coming. I'm not going to do that. Martin, do you have any final words?
Well, Zenik stole my answer. I thought I was going to be the one with the like philosophical answer of that. It's lifted everyone's spirits, which I totally agree with. And yeah, I'm just echoing what Zenik said. It's been a great tournament, and especially as an England fan. I mean, win or lose on Sunday, like the fact that now, after Sunday, I will have seen England in a final, for me is a massive, massive thing. I also, as we mentioned, got to see England play a match which I wasn't expecting at all at the beginning of the tournament, which again was a absolutely unbelievable experience. Whatever happens on Sunday, like this, I will look back at this in the same way as I kind of look back at like Euro 96, like a great period of my life. Yep. Yeah, because of football, because that's what it can do. So yeah, whatever happens, it's been a great tournament.
So yeah, do you think too. If you win, Luke, do you think that Gareth Southgate, your manager, will get knighted?
Oh, without a doubt. Sorry to turn that, but without a doubt.
Oh God! Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. He's going to get knighted. Yeah. I wonder if anyone else will. Depends what happens in the final. But yeah, if we win, yeah, he's bound to get knighted and brought into the whole honours system in some way. Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, I'm still waiting for David Beckham. Like, let's just like get it over and done with now. Everyone knows it's going to be. Every time the camera goes to him, I just think, God, that man is so cool.
You can't give someone a knighthood for just looking good in a suit.
I think you can. But when you look as good as him, I think you can. But no, he's just a great guy as well. Like, he's all like, I mean, when there was like the Olympics.
Wait a minute. You can't give a knighthood to someone who's just a great guy.
Well, I mean
my mate, like, Steve is a great guy. He's not being given a knighthood.
How good does he look in a suit though? Because Bex is a great guy, looks great in a suit. And I mean, he has done lots of other things as well. I just want to quickly mention, actually, during the Germany game, there was David Beckham next to Ed Sheeran. And like David Beckham just looks like so, and Ed, it was just like, I actually thought if I was Ed Sheeran, I would have just said, you know what, I'm just going to sit somewhere else actually, because I don't want to be like me next to you.
To be honest, it was a bit like a little clip from Lord of the Rings for a moment, you know, like when they're in Rivendell. It looked like an elf standing next to a dwarf or a troll or something. Like David Beckham's this beautiful, like, elf, you know, like just light shining off his skin.
I agree.
There's little ginger Ed Sheeran. He's like a little hobbit or something. It's just wonderful.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, let's just hope for a good, entertaining game.
Exactly. May the best team win.
Yep.
Exactly. All right, then, guys. Thanks a lot for this. And speak to you both soon in some way.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.